The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
The Lord gave us this idea because there are some of us who need to be sensitized, including me, that one situation which is not necessarily approved of God may want to stay longer than necessary, and therefore we need to do something about it. We need to lift up our voice to God so that there will be a divine intervention and that we will achieve a change. And I want to prophesy to you that before we leave here, God will bring a significant, glorious, honorable change to your life. Let me hear a better shout and a louder clap offering to God. I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 61. And I'm reading the first three verses. Isaiah chapter 61, the first three verses. And in the course of prayer, the topic was mentioned. I'm preaching on the topic, Beauty for Ashes. Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison gates unto them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3, which we shall focus on, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion and to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Let's say amen to the reading of the word. The background to this story is that for 70 years, Israel had been in captivity in Babylon. Upon seeking the face of God, the captivity in Babylon came to an end. So they had to move to their homeland. Upon their return, they realized that things had been destroyed, including the temple. And when they looked at the state of the temple and the amount of energy and effort that they needed to raise it from the ground, it was quite discouraging to them. And for some of them, they became dispirited, they became unhappy, and they were in all kinds of negative, moods. It was in the period that Isaiah rose up and began to prophesy to them what the Lord had to do. So you look at the background, they've been in captivity 70 years. Captivity is not a pleasant thing. You are a slave, you are bullied, you are heckled, you are reduced to nothing, you are treated as if you were just a thing and you didn't matter. Captivity means that your rights are curtailed and that you cannot eat what you want and you cannot rest at the time that you want and you cannot develop your potential to the fullness. Having come out, they were faced with another big problem where they needed to have restoration of their economy and of their spiritual life. And while they were looking at these things, it seemed as if the things were overwhelming and they didn't know what to do. It was in the midst of this that the prophet Isaiah stood up like a lone ranger to begin to declare the mind of God. And what he declared to them is what I'm declaring to the church today. Oh, let me hear an amen. The first thing that Isaiah spoke about was that he said in verse 3 that to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. The word mourn means grieving, going through a period of sorrow, having a heartache, not being yourself, unhappy about the circumstances. And the Bible is saying that unto them that mourn, not in the whole world, not in Saudi Arabia, not in Egypt, not in Tanzania, but the Bible says that to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, God was referring to his people in particular. And you and I, by reason of the fact that we have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are the people that God is referring to. And if you know you are part of them, shout and clap to God's glory as your gratitude to him. So he says, he has appointed to them that mourn in Zion. You will remember Jesus quoted verse 1. The first time he went to the synagogue and he was the one to read the scriptures. The appointment to those that mourn in Zion had to do with Christ Jesus. That God has set him as the burden bearer. God has set him as the redeemer. God has set him as the solution to the people of the household of God. So we'll take them point by point. The first thing that was to be done was that they will be given beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Everybody say it with me. Beauty for ashes. Say it louder the second time, please. Beauty for ashes. Let the third one be louder. Beauty for ashes. Beauty cannot come except there are first ashes. The pathway to beauty is through the ashes. You cannot have the beauty unless you first experience the ashes. In other words, the ashes are a prerequisite if you want to attain that beauty that God is talking about. So the question that we put to ourselves is, what are the ashes? Now, when we talk about ash, we are talking about the end product of something that has been completely burnt down. The end product of something that has been completely burnt down. Recently, there were reports about some market, parts of the market that were burnt down. When you go there, the fire would have raised a lot of things down. And when you look at the ground, you will find soft material, which is dark, which is ash in color, and which is sometimes black. So it symbolizes the end product of what is completely destroyed. In the natural, when something has been reduced from its beauty, from its glory, and from its normal state to ashes, it is an irreversible reaction. But in the kingdom of God, God has also majored in picking ashes and turning them into beauty. Oh, come on. So ashes are the dark residue of what was once bright and fair. Ashes represent a number of things. Number one, they represent grief. Number two, humiliation. Number three, suffering. Number four, shame. Number five, disgrace. Number six, repentance. And number seven, death. So ashes represent grief, humiliation, suffering, shame, disgrace, repentance, and death. So the Bible is talking about the fact that Israel has had some good old days. The days when Solomon built the temple, very magnificent, very colorful. The day when it was an architectural piece, and people like the Queen of Sheba will make a whole journey from Africa to go and see about this temple and hear the wisdom of God and see the wealth that characterized that particular kingdom. So when Israel returned from captivity and they were in Zion, they used to talk about the good old days of the generations that were past. And now they had been through 70 years of captivity, and following their release, they were now bemoaning the work of reconstruction of the temple. So that's when Isaiah would come in and tell them that somebody has been appointed to Zion to minister to you. And the first thing that he's going to do is that he will turn your ashes into beauty. In other words, what is beyond man is not beyond God. What is dead and finished, like Lazarus on the fourth day, and nobody can do anything about that, Jesus would appear on the scene and ask them to roll away the tomb. Oh, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even as his power was in yesteryear, so is the power today, and so is the power tomorrow. So the power that we relied upon that delivered us yesterday is the same power that will help us project forward, and is the same power that will help us enter our destiny and fulfill the purposes of God for our life. I want you to know, something may have been destroyed, but it is not beyond redemption. Something may have been bent down, but it is not beyond recovery. In God's realm, remember that we were built from the dust of the earth. The Bible says God created the heavens and the earth was without form, and there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And that was the first day. Second day God created, third day God created, until the sixth day when he created man. And the Bible says he took dust, the dust of the earth, and molded it in the form of a man. It was still the same dust that looked like ashes, that was inanimate and could not do anything, like a piece of clay. But God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the Bible says man became a living soul. Have you forgotten that God took Ezekiel in a revelation to the edge of a valley? And the Bible talks about this valley called the Valley of Dry Bones. And it was talking about the army of Israel who had been slain and left in the valley, and their skin had rotten and been destroyed. And every flesh, every tissue, every sinew, every nerve, every cartilage had been destroyed from these bodies. There have been events of storms, and wind had blown. So some thigh bones had been displaced from one person to a wrong person. But God asked Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? Oh, Ezekiel in the natural would have said, I don't think they will live. But Ezekiel was smart. And tonight I pray that you will apply that smartness in the realms of the supernatural. Never look at your circumstances and say, I am finished. Never look at your circumstances and say that it is beyond redemption and that nothing can be done about it. Son of man, can these dry bones live? Can these dry bones live? And then Ezekiel looked at God and said, son of man, he said, God, thou knowest. And God said, Ezekiel, prophesy. Oh, come on. Tonight you will prophesy. If you don't prophesy, bone will not move to the right bone. I'm not hearing an amen. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You will need to open your mouth to say at least hallelujah. You will need to open your mouth to say glory to God. You will need to open your mouth and say amen and amen and amen. You will need to open your mouth and say, Lord, this word is for me, and I grab it by the Spirit of God. You will need to open your mouth and say that this word will work for me, because it is written, there shall be a performance of the things which Jehovah wrote about. It shall materialize, it shall happen in my life. Oh, for with men it is impossible, but with God all things, including raising ashes back to life. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So it was in this inanimate object of clay that God molded and put an eye that was not working, a nose that was not working, a head that was not working, arms that were not working, a trunk that was not working, limbs, legs that were not working. But God will breathe into the nostrils of this person the breath of life. And this breath of life, upon interaction with the dust of the earth, will become a living soul. Son of man, can these dry bones live? I'm asking you, son of man, will your family move out of poverty ever? Can I hear an amen? Son of man, would you ever get a job and get a salary that is about $4,000 in a month? Son of man. Oh, I'm talking about the starting pay. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Son of man, can this disease be healed? Oh Lord, thou knowest. Son of man, will my accommodation problem be resolved before the deadline that the court or the landlord has given? Oh, I'm not hearing your response. Oh Lord, thou knowest. Son of man, will my business thrive again? Will I have some capital injection? Will things work out for me again? Is my marriage not past longer? What about childbearing? Son of man, will these things leave? Yes, Lord, thou knowest. And God said, prophesy to the wind. Oh, the four corners of the wind. Oh, the north, the south, the east, and the west. Prophesy to them that whatever they have been holding back, they will release it. Can I hear an amen? They will release it. Oh, the north is pregnant with answers. The south is pregnant with great opportunities. The east is pregnant with solutions. And the west is pregnant with that which will meet your need exactly. Can I hear an amen? There is nothing that will bypass you, because God has targeted you, and you are the very person that God is looking to and is looking to. I'm not talking about the other one, I'm talking about you. And if it's you, your response will not be commonplace. It will not be ordinary. It will be extraordinary. It will be a shout of glory and celebration and jubilation, with full assurance of the fact that he who has started with you will continue and bring it to fruition. Son of man, can these dry bones live? Prophesy to the north. I prophesy into true vine that souls are coming from the north, and souls are coming from the south, and from the east, and from the west. I prophesy that these souls are being established in the knowledge of God, and that they will bring in and many more souls that will stay in the household of God. Any dream and vision and aspiration that the Lord has given to the church shall come to pass in the name of, I'm not hearing amen. And that in the church there shall be no ordinary person, there shall be no poor persons in the church, for the power of God that takes ashes and brings beauty shall take ordinary men, commonplace men, men that people don't regard in their family. And God is gonna do something extraordinary in your life. If I'm gossiping about you, shout yeah. Oh, come on, shout, put your hands together there is something that is about to occur. It's explosive. It's miraculous. It's the power of God already in action. And get ready for the hand of God to touch you where you are. So he says, son of God, son of man. He said, prophesy, prophesy that there will be flesh over the bones. Oh, can I hear an amen? People fear skeleton because the eyes are not there and they are deep. The nose is not there and there's a cavity there. There are no lips, so the teeth is saying, it's chasing you. People fear skeleton, but it's the flesh that brings beauty. Today, if your business looks like a skeleton, may God add flesh to it. Flesh is coming. Beauty is coming into the house of God. And I see that people's finances are gathering flesh. Oh, Jesus was with God in heaven, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. At a point in time, the Word took upon himself flesh. The prophecies you have heard are going to take upon themselves flesh. That is materiality, that is tangibility, that is reality, and they are going to happen like it was said. Everything ditto. Can I hear an amen? For God will do exceeding abundantly above that which you ask, according to the power, according to the dynamis and iskus that worketh in your life. And he prophesied, and then there was flesh. Then he says, son of man, prophesy again that the wind of God shall go into these individuals and raise them up. And he prophesied again. Your academic life will be restored. It will be fully financed. There will be sponsors who will sponsor you. The fees will be paid. Your family will be catered for. You will lack nothing. Shout yeah. Your children's fees, for that matter, will also be paid. Son of man, can you build a house at your age before you die? Will you finish the house? The answer is a big yes. You are not saying yes. Look at how I'm shouting. The answer is a big yes. Oh, say yes in style. Yes. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. The way you have been refused visa and various countries have bounced you, will that same passport ever have a visa, son of man? Yes. The way you have been chasing your money from your debtors and all kinds of things, will you get the money back? Listen to me. Oh, let me hear an amen. Will you get your money back? Even if the one who owes you dies, God will open another door and bring you back your money. He will bring you back. Oh, come on. So he said, prophesy that the Spirit of God will enter into these bodies and raise them up. That strength and vitality, that energy and power of God shall begin to work in their veins and begin to work even in their muscles and in their tissues and in their brains and all the organs in the body. I want you to know God is at work in your life, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Today, if the faith is not there, God will produce the faith. If the joy has been leaking away for some time now, God is about to fill your life with joy, because there are beauty for ashes. For some of us, if we have to dress up, it's a difficult thing because the wardrobe itself is deficient of vitamin C. Oh, you didn't get what I said. So the colors don't match, although the things are there. And even if the things are there, Ekoma hate just so much I can call mommy no cheer wordy. But today I'm prophesying to you that God will change your wardrobe. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Oh, come on, shout yeah. COVID has brought in its wake a lot of difficulties. Some countries shut down for 3 months, others for 1 month, others for a whole year, and a place like China was 3 years. By the time the economies were open, you know, again, some businesses have been affected. Some have closed down, packed their things, and giving away even their accommodation. But I have good question for you. Will you bounce back into action, son of man? Is your business going to rise out of the ashes again? I am asking you. You who dropped out of school, are you going to be reintegrated into the academic system? Will you finish your program? I am asking you. You who owe a lot of money, will you ever end settling your debts and have more to do your projects? Let me hear your answer. I'm telling you that our God is so great that he doesn't fear ashes. Ashes are nothing before him. When he has ashes, he will mix it with water, add a little clay, and mold the thing again and create a new human being out of the ashes. You are going to get a new business. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. I am not destroying the old business, but you need many streams of income. So you are going to get a new business. Even Alibaba, that great company in China that is so huge and have millions and billions of people, that when they open trading online, within 1 hour, many millions of people buy. They are breaking into about 6 parts, so they will reach out more into the market. I am saying that your business there will be revived. But beyond your business, there's coming a mightier business. The income is colossal. The income is overwhelming. The income will beat your mind. There will be ready market for you. Contracts will come left, right, center. Your name will become big, and God will place you on the global net, and people will access your company, and they will purchase from you. People will buy from China, others will buy from you from Indonesia, they will buy from you from Germany and any other place that God has ordained. You'll be exporting some of your products to US and to South America and to other countries in Africa. I want you to know that beauty is going to come out of the ashes. Oh, let me hear a bigger shout. Let me hear a bigger shout. At this stage, the hopes of Israel were shattered when the prophet Isaiah was prophesying to Judah, if you like. And Isaiah was encouraging them to look beyond the period, to look beyond the current sufferings and trials. To Israel, it was like their hopes were shattered and their dreams had come to an end. And God was telling them, if you keep looking at your current circumstances, you will never move out. But if you would cultivate a dream, if you will have a vision on your mind, and you will look beyond your current circumstances and dare to dream big that you will become great and prosperous. God will look on the dream in your life. He will bless it and it will come to pass. So Israel had seemed immense and discouraged in hopelessness. They went looking beyond their current circumstances. It was as if they were sitting in ashes and wearing sackcloth. They were therefore to lift up their eyes and look unto the hills from whence cometh their help. COVID may have affected things. Ukraine-Russia war may have affected things. The high cost of fuel may have affected things. High inflation may have affected things. High cost of foodstuffs may have affected things. Low incomes in business may have affected things. High cost of borrowing may have affected things. But thus saith the Lord, you are about to experience a new dispensation where your ashes shall be turned into beauty. Let me hear a big amen, a very big amen. Your current circumstances are about to change. In Job chapter 2 verse 8, chapter 1, Job started losing things. Lost his camel, lost his donkeys, he lost his building, and lost 10 children. By chapter 2, verse 8, he had boils all over his body. And you know, these boils are like chicken pox. They itch. So the Bible says that Job had potsherds by which he was scraping his body. Because Job was suffering. Then the wife comes in the next verse and says, curse God and die. Then Job said, you must be an unwise woman. Job looked beyond his current circumstances. You see, if you keep looking in your current circumstances now, but look beyond your current circumstances and look at what the power of God can do for you. And I can assure you will embrace a miracle. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. So at the last chapter of Job, chapter 32, Job had been restored. His ashes had been turned into beauty. If you go to the time of Mordecai, when Haman was planning to destroy their lives and had plotted in Esther chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible says when Mordecai perceived that all was done, and Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city, Esther chapter 4 verse 1, and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Haman had contracted people to get a law to be signed against the Jews to kill all of them. And when it came to the notice of Mordecai, he wanted the attention of the queen so that she would speak on their behalf to the king. And Mordecai put ashes on his head and wore sackcloth, indicating it was a period of mourning. The Bible said, they that mourn shall be comforted. And he sought the face of God, and they prayed together, and their ashes were turned to beauty. So God delivered the Jews. Oh, come on, shout amen. I say God is about to deliver you. And he will deliver you well, 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 and take you out of the circumstances. All these stories from the Bible point to the fact that trials are only temporary. The word temporary means that they only last for a limited period of time. In other words, trials have expiry date. There is a date of manufacture and there's a date of expiry. When the date of expiry is gone, that thing is of no use. I didn't hear an amen. Can I hear a more solid amen? I had to be sure that I read on every item that we will use tonight that it was not expired. But I want you to know the good news is that God has placed an expiry date on your challenges, on your difficulties. And I see that for somebody, tonight is the expiry date. The afflictions are expiring now. The oppression is expiring now. The challenges are disappearing now. Son of man, prophesy that these problems shall disappear. And I prophesy that the financial challenges are disappearing. The matrimonial difficulties are disappearing. The jerkiness in your business is disappearing. Your life is coming back on course. And God will make it rise steadily until it reaches a crescendo. Can I hear an amen from you, somebody? The debt you owe is expiring. The frustrations. Can I hear amen? Oh, I don't need to plead with you to say amen. Those in front, you are not saying it. I'm hearing people from the back. I say your challenges are expiring. They are expiring. They are disappearing. They are ceasing to be. God is sending a helper to help you and to take you out of the situation. Shout yeah. In John 16, if you read from verse 16 through 20, there's a part of it, part B. I think verse 16 says, but your sorrows shall be turned into joy. This is what Christ can do. He turned water into wine. Moses plucked a branch and threw it in the pool of water at Marah. The moment the plant interacted with the water, it changed the bitterness of the water that people could not drink. You see, there's a certain thing that you can but this was not drinkable. If it went into your body, the way it impacted you in your abdomen, you could not stand. So Moses plucked the branch, threw it like God commanded, and just when it touched the water, it changed the water. Today I'm standing in the stead of Moses, and I have a branch, which is the branch of God. It is the word of God, and I'm releasing it into your waters. That every bitterness in your life, I don't want any bitterness in my life. The afflictions may come, but they will not stay, because the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from all. May you be delivered from all. How long will landlord insult you every morning? How long will your co-tenant misbehave toward you every day? How long will you have to tell stories so that you get tomatoes, onions? Antico, Menenchunaya Bank, Najishka. She been what here? I get signature, but in sign ledger. No me a truffle. We been here, na look, man, let me get back. Antigo, manyamana kobi enyo. You see, the story that preceded the thing was a nice story so that you will get what you want. But it's not a good story. And I say, God is taking you out of that. You won't say amen. You won't say amen. The beauty of it is, from the same store that you used to borrow, God is about to bless you. And you will walk into the same store and say, give me a carton of this and two cartons of that. And the storekeeper will follow you back and say, mana, ubanyo chins a few beauty for ashes. I said, something will change in your life. It will change for the better. The borrowing shall cease. The indebtedness shall cease. The failure shall be a thing of the past. The reproach shall go away. The miscarriages are banned. Enough of we regret to inform you that your application has reached us and that it was not favorably considered. I removed the knot from there. And if it is the will of God that it be favorably considered, then I push you into that job. I push you for the high salary. I push you. May you have the ability to do the job. Shout yeah! God can create a position which doesn't exist, and he will put you there. I don't know who was the vice president of Egypt. I don't know who was. But just when Joseph was ripe, God put him there. And I never heard about any contest or any enmity between Joseph and another. So there have been vice president number one and vice president number two. May God create a position, a new position for you that doesn't seem to exist. Oh, may you be a co-owner, a full owner of a company, of a franchise, of an enterprise, of a business that is thriving and will be part of the Club 100. Beauty for ashes. Get up and give seven people a high five and say, beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Oh, seven people. All of you get up, please. Oh, somebody is sitting down. Please get up. Sister, please rise up. Oh, beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Beautiful ashes. So number one, I have just explained ashes. Number two, I'm about to explain beauty. Beauty stands for God's splendor, God's glory. Beauty stands for a life of harmony, a life of symmetry, a life of a coherent whole where the arrangement of the component parts are in place, just like a car. Some people will manufacture the doors, others will manufacture the cables, others will manufacture the mirrors, others will manufacture the screens in front and on the sides, others will manufacture spark plugs and other things. And they put these together, the component parts, so it becomes an integral whole. As soon as you see the latest of that car, and it is in the showroom, and it is glistering and shining. Because the thing is flashy, the thing is beautiful, and they have calibrated its speedometer from 0 to 260. As soon as you step on it, it changes from gear 1 to gear 5. I'm talking about beauty. I'm talking about beauty. God will put all the component parts together for you to create harmony, to create beauty, to create a symmetry. Shout yeah to the glory of God. The expression that I will give you beauty in the original means I will give you a turban of glory. If you look at those from the east, the men wear their turbans. And God says, I'm going to wrap around you and upon your head a turban of glory. Oh, can I hear an amen? That when you appear, I would distinguish you from the ordinary person. It shall be a crown of beauty. And this beauty shall represent a boost in your aspirations, in your passion. And this beauty will give you confidence. It will mark a period of fulfillment of dreams, which will lead to accomplishments and which will bring satisfaction and contentment in your life. I want you to know that Jesus was described as a tender plant in the wilderness, as a tender plant in the desert. And the Bible says, when you look at him, there was no beauty nor comeliness on him. The man looked so ordinary when he started. There was nothing that was to be desired about him. But when God raised him from the dead, the glory of God has been with him. Oh, can I hear an amen? Today he's seated at the right hand of glory, making intercessions for you and I, supervising his will that he would distribute the things according to how he planned it for your life. Come on, clap for Jesus, because he's supervising the thing to bring them to pass in your life. Can I hear an amen? Your children shall look glorious. May the turban of glory be placed upon their heads. Your wife shall look glorious. You yourself, you will look glorious. Oh, shout yeah. May it come to pass that one day when you go back to the neighborhood to greet them, may they wonder who is standing there. Then you will say, Pastor Quena, have you ever played football and it landed on somebody's Gary photo before? They will not recognize you. They will look at you and see something has changed about you. Did I tell you about my classmate that I met in one of the television stations? And I was seated in the midst of one media giant and one legal personnel. And they sandwiched me and I was in the middle. And we're holding discussions. And the questions were coming from all angles. And God would give me wisdom. Then the little I can say, I said it. So, when we went on a break, there was a classmate of mine who was the chief engineer of one part of the technical team. And then he came to me and he mentioned my first name. Bone. Ufane mine. Ufane mite te jangma. Oh, you are not clapping for God. You are not clapping. So he began to tell every other staff that I was his classmate. And that the way I'm talking, he was in the same class with me. And that I couldn't talk. And that when I was asked questions in class, I would scratch my head. And my tenses were not correct. But over the years, God had placed a beauty on me. In that short fable, she beautiful ever landed, no. Oh, you are not clapping. Clap so that the greater of that beauty shall land upon your life. Some of you are going to be so prosperous and honorable that even me, I ask that, are you the member of parliament of your area? Were you the one that I lay hands on in the Beauty for Ashes conference? Oh, can I hear an amen? Oh, can I hear a more solid amen? I want to go to the third point. So the first point is ashes, we have explained. The second is the beauty. The third is the oil of joy. Ah, if you have your vial of oil, take it out. How can I have a pastor? Can I have somebody quickly, please, pick this? So for me, God bless you. Please take this from me. Yes. Pour it. And find a receptacle for it just behind the camera. You can pick this receptacle and put it on it. And as I preach, I will instruct the people to dip their finger. If you have your own vial, you will dip your finger in it and put it upon your life. I didn't hear an amen. The Bible says, and I will give you the oil of joy for mourning. There is an ordinary joy, but this joy is different from the ordinary joy. There is a commonplace joy. This joy is different from that. The Bible even talks about the joy of the hypocrite lasts for a short period. So there are different kinds of joy, including the joy of the hypocrite. The hypocrite can laugh. But as soon as he finishes, then some wind of sorrow blows into his life. But this joy is an inexplicable joy. This joy comes like an oil of anointing. In other words, I will give you an anointing for joy, an unction for joy. I will give you supernatural power for joy. In other words, joy means cheerfulness. It means to be glad. It means to be excited. One thing about joy, whenever it is in your spirit and it lasts for so long, it is prophetic that something good is about to happen. Similarly, when you are disturbed in your spirit and there is a bad bedding in your spirit, it is indicative that something negative, something evil might happen unless you make an intercession, unless you pray for yourself for that thing to be curtailed. I like the way you are applying the oil to your body. Jegba no pamuam yo. May this oil that you have applied upon your life, may the grace of God remain on you. May you be unctionized by the Holy Spirit. May the power of God that brings joy fall upon your life, and may this joy be prophetic that great things are about to happen. If you receive your prophecy, shout amen to God's glory. Says, for your mourning, for your sadness, for your sorrow, for your grieving, I will give you the anointing of joy. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 13, it says, I will turn your mourning into joy. The water was turned into wine. I will turn your mourning into joy. I will turn your afflictions into celebration. I will turn your grieving into rejoicing. I will turn your sorrows into victories. I will turn it. I command that may your sorrows be turned to joy. May your sorrows be turned to joy. The things that make you weep in the night, the things that make you grieve, the things that make you worry and get sleepless night, may God turn them into joy. I command the power of God by the raising of the oil. Oh, those online, pick your olive oil and anoint yourself. Ah, may your sorrows be turned to joy. May your mourning be turned to joy. May your failure be turned to success. May your disgrace be turned to glory. May your shame be turned to honor. May your weakness be turned to strength. In the name of, may your poverty be turned to riches. I command your poverty turn into riches. In the name of Jesus Christ, may your marriagelessness result in a lovely marriage. May your childlessness be looked at by Jehovah, and may you be rewarded with many children by the power of God, with the grace to take care of them. I declare your time has come, because there's a change from indebtedness to abundance. Shout and say, yeah. He will give you the oil of joy for the period of mourning. Number four, in the same Isaiah 61 verse 3, number four, and then he will give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What is the spirit of heaviness? It's the spirit of despair. The spirit of despair makes you give up. It doesn't make you persevere. It doesn't make you continue steadily and steadfastly. It's a spirit that will make you give up, then later on will make you depressed, because what you were to have achieved, you wouldn't have been able to achieve it. And this thing becomes heavy on you. It affects your mind. It affects your spirit. It even affects your body. And you find that every part of your body is drooping like that because you are not happy. God says, I will take that garment off. Ah, come on. What is God saying? He says, instead of the attitude of a loser, you will take on the attitude of a great conqueror. Instead of the garment of heaviness, I will give you a mantle of praise. Do you remember when David was going to fight Goliath? The first thing that was given to him was Saul's armor. And David fitted it. He couldn't even walk in it, let alone go and face Goliath in that. That is how the garment of heaviness is on. It's more oversized, atali. The thing is heavy, as if it's a jute bag. But God says that heaviness upon you, I the Lord, I'm taking it off. The thing that makes you think and think and think and get disturbed and wonder whether it will happen, and you lose your joy and a little sorrow comes in, God says, I'm going to take it off. If you know yours has been taking off now, give a big clap and a loud shout to God's glory. When the spirit of heaviness is taken away, there will be what we call a mantle of praise. Oh, can I hear an amen? Israel was heavy when the Ark of Covenant was taken away. And when the Ark was being brought back, David wore his mantle of praise. This joy is an inner joy which gives you the right attitude to face challenges. It will make you despise the shame and look at the challenges and say that they will pass. This too shall pass. It will give you the courage to face the circumstances and say your God is greater than this. That although the thing has delayed, it will surely come to pass. It will surely, it will certainly, it will materialize, it will happen in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a garment of praise. I moved into this garment a few weeks back, and I began to sense, let's have the conference of milk and honey. This morning I got a phone call from one of the members, something that person was not successful at. Today, the person has the thing. Can I prophesy to you now? It is now your turn. Oh, I said it is now your turn to receive your miracle, to receive your breakthrough, to have your answers to prayer, to receive solution, and to get to the place of rejoicing and dancing to the glory of God. Can I hear you rejoice and shout to God's glory? Because it's an indication that something good is about to happen. Something powerful, something miraculous is about to happen. I'm prophesying that the quantum of money you haven't touched before, bigger than you can ever imagine, when it is put in your hands, you will ask, what is it for? Hey, they say, hey, I want to pay me money. Nakaji boni in prophesy that you will get. Can I hear an amen? May somebody give you land transferred into your name, free of charge or at a reduced price. Can I hear an amen? Oh, come on, put your hands together. For those people who feel they have grown older, this is your season. Because the Bible says the righteous man in his old age shall flourish like the palm tree. Be blessed. I say, be blessed again. May you be blessed this time the more. Oh, I want to finish this message. Can I hear an amen? Then the number 5 point. Number one was what? Ashes. Number two, beauty. Number three, oil of what? Number four, garment of what? Praise be given to you. Number five, you shall be plantings of the Lord. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. What God establishes, no man can overthrow. Any man who tries to overthrow it will be overthrown in this life and will find himself in the life hereafter. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. So God says you are a planting of God. Nobody can kill you prematurely. May God protect you, preserve your life, deliver you from danger and perils. The things that kill other people on the operation table shall not kill you. You will not go to the birthplace and die with your child. You will be alive. You will come back with your children. Can I hear an amen in the name of Jesus? Because you are a planting of God. The government cannot move you. The local authority cannot move you. You are a planting of God. Witches and wizards cannot move you because you are a planting of God. You will not die before your time. The Bible says you'll be called trees of righteousness. In the original, these trees of righteousness was referred to as the oak tree, because in the east it was one of the solid trees, apart from the cedars of Lebanon that, you know, describe other qualities in life. The oak tree was seen. What was unique about the oak tree? It starts as a little acorn. If you see it, you will never think that it will survive. And then when it starts growing, it sends roots deep into the ground. Then it draws its nourishment from the ground and becomes a solid plant. The Bible says we must be planted and rooted in Christ Jesus. You get rooted when you study the word. You get rooted when you meditate on the word. You get rooted when you walk in the light of the word. The word establishes you. The word builds you up. And the word ensures that you are established like Mount Zion, that you can never be moved. Let people go to a board meeting and conspire that they will take you out. All of them, one by one, will be taken out. Can I hear an amen from somebody? They will be taken out. They will lose their position. They will lose their jobs. They will lose their honor. They will lose their glory. You will remain. The last point. This was point what? Was it five? Point six. That his name shall be glorified. That Tete Jagme's name shall be glorified. No, not in this scripture. That his name, Jehovah's name, Jehovah's name, Jehovah's name shall be glorified. Ladies and gentlemen, if I'm asking you to clap and shout, I'm simply asking you to glorify the name of the Most High. Oh, illa na mama siando, yelere mamo siandere mamandara. Shalara babo lere ille salana mamandoro silelelelelelelelelele isalana mamandara evraze Ye wuro. Oh, sing. You sing, they will catch up with. Osa bury me. Ye yiwa yewa. Oh, yo. And you know, mummy and nana, yo. Everybody worship the Lord. Say that you are good and all the miracles you've done have brought us joy. For we are changed and all the hopes we have, we're praising you right now.
Let's start again.
And we will say,
sing it,
that you are good.
Come on.
And all the miracles you've done has brought us joy. For we are changed.
Come on.
And all the hopes we have, we're praising you right now. Oh, oh, oh. Father, we declare that we love you. We declare love for you.
Oh, Father, we declare,
that we love you. We declare an everlasting love for you.
We're going for the communion. These elements represent the blood and the body of Christ. In the Old Testament, the day before Israel will be released from captivity, God ordained that the blood of the Lamb without blemish should be sprinkled on their doorpost, that they must eat the flesh, and that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It was the same blood that marked their day of redemption. Today, by partaking in the blood, you are redeemed from satanic enslavement. You are redeemed from corruption in the world. You are redeemed from failure, from shame, from disgrace, from reproach. You are redeemed from marking time. You are redeemed. I bless these elements. I declare that the wafer is the body of Christ, and the efficacy, the power in the body as original shall still be resident upon this. And the contents of the cup is the blood of Jesus, the power in the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel shall be your portion. Dignesses, can we pick them out quickly and distribute to everybody? There are two layers. The first cellophane sheet, if you peel it off well, will give you the wafer, which is now the body of Christ. Then the second layer will give you the communion wine, which is now the blood of Jesus Christ. Please, let's hurry. This is not where we hold discussion. Please, let's serve. We are starting with the communion. Pick the other elements of the wine. Sorry, of the honey and milk. I will need you back. So you can put it here for me. Let's be snappy. We have to leave here shortly. I am saying that this was a meal that when they took, it translated them from slavery into liberty. It translated them from servitude into freedom. It translated them from a people without hope and future, whose destiny was overshadowed by evil regime. It opened the door for them to go and develop yourself. Tonight, I declare, may this open the doorway for you as well, that you will have access to develop the fullness of your potential, that your destiny shall be linked to you and refreshed by the power of God, that there shall be a transition from pain to sweetness, from failure to success, from sorrow to joy. Shall we go ahead and partake of the body of Jesus, which was the wafer? Shall we go ahead? Those online, please get your elements ready. Shall we partake of the blood of Jesus? It's the covenant blood. There shall be fulfillment in our lives. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I pray that the milk you have is blessed. Amen. Somebody may ask, so what is this milk and honey about? Well, there were things that Israel ate in the presence of God. Some of the things were the tithe of the third year. They didn't eat it at home, and they didn't eat it in a restaurant or around the dining table, but they ate it in the house of the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Oh, can you give attention to me? They will come to you. Don't worry. Look at the milk. There's a part that you can tear. There's a part you can tear. Tear gently so it doesn't pour into your attire. The milk stands for nourishment. The Bible talks about, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We are using this as a point of contact in the presence of God. The milk represents satisfaction. The milk represents fruitfulness. God has designed the human body that is when the baby comes and the baby sucks on the breast that the milk comes, that there is fruitfulness. In Jesus' name. from today, God said, I take into a land that floweth with milk and honey. Can I hear an amen? I hope we are not disengaged. Can I hear an amen? You are entering your land that floweth with milk. Land of abundance. Land of satisfaction. Land of increase. Land of overwhelming blessings. Partake of the milk. Those online, get your milk. Then the next that we do is the honey. So I want you to shout, yeah. The honey means the period of pain is passing. The period of sorrow is going. The period of grief is leaving your life. The period of going round in concentric circles without progress is going away. By this honey, may sweetness come to your soul. May the fullness of joy be restored in your soul. And may it not just be a prophetic indicator, but may it be an actuality. Whatever is the pressing need on your heart, I command that God will look upon you like it did upon Hannah, and it did upon Abraham, and it did upon other people. Whatever is the pressing need in your life, may God visit you. May you have an encounter. Shall we partake of the honey? In Jesus' name. Oh, we are little. Please help me cut it for them so they take it fast, because we are going to sing before we leave. How many are ready to sing? Oh, I'm not saying. So can you last? I hereby declare that for this year, Milk and Honey Conference, amazing miracle, overwhelming signs and wonders from Jehovah, answers to prayers, visitations by the Holy Spirit. I declare in Jesus' name that mind-blowing miracles shall occur to you. Can I hear the loudest shout and the biggest amen for the night? Yes! So if I like that. Praise and worship team. Have you not? You finished yours. I want some songs of rejoicing. Very quick, good ones. Then we leave. Let me have the offertory bowl here. Get your offerings ready. Come in no particular order. If yours is ready, just come. Thank you, sir.
Osahin Christo mumane deso. Oyohin, oyohin ampa. Osahin Christo mumane deso.